Welcome to LiveDoff, your online Dafyomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Dafyomi Brachas Daf Chav Dalad. We're on the top of the Amid, says the Gemara. Vehechi manach lehu. So where exactly does he place his tefillin? Now the Gemara here is discussing the halacha taught us by Shmuel that one places his tefillin tachas mirashosof, beneath his headrest. Va'afilu ishto imoy, even in the presence of one's wife, even in the presence of tashmish hamita. Why? Because that is the location where the tefillin will be the most secure. They will be properly safeguarded from all threats, from ganavim, from thieves, from mice, from rodents, and therefore the security consideration is of utmost importance, is the highest priority, and therefore he places his tefillin in that location. But where exactly does he place them? Vehechi manach lo, where exactly does he place the tefillin? Amar of Yirmiya, bein kar lekeses, between the mattress and the pillow, shaloi keneged roshay, but not directly opposite where he puts his head, meaning one is not meant to sleep on his tefillin, but rather he should pull them a bit to the side. The Mefarshim point out, where the tefillin will be present during Tashmish Amita, one must ensure that they are placed kis v'sech kis, they are double wrapped. Continues the Gemara. V'atani Rav Chiya, didn't Rav Chiya teach us? Manichan, he places his tefillin b'koiva, in a case, tachas mar shosef, underneath his headrest. This implies that they are directly underneath his head. Says the Gemara, no, the mapik lei, he pulls it out, l'morsha the koiva, the protrusion of the case, meaning the part of the case that contains the tefillin, he pushes it out, levar, outward, meaning away from his head. Bar kapora tsair luhu, he would wrap and tie his tefillin bekilsa, with the curtain surrounding his bed, umapik lemershein labar, and he would direct the mershein, the knot, meaning the curtain, the part of the curtain that's knotted around the tefillin, he would direct it away from his bed. Rav Shishi be Darvidi manach lo shashifa, he would place it on his stool, uparis sudra levayu, and he'd cover it with a kerchief. Amar Rav Avnuna, brother of Yosef. Zimnachada, there was one time, I was standing in front of Rava, Va'amar li, and he asked me, instructed me, Zil aisi li tefillin, please go get me my tefillin. And I went to get them, Vashkechsinu, and I found them, I located them, Bein kar lekeses, between the mattress and the pillow, Shaloi keneged roshay, not directly opposite where he places his head. Vaviyadana, and I inferred from here, I figured, why did he send me to get the tefillin? He meant to teach me a practical halacha. Vava Yadana, I inferred, I implied from here, the Yom Tfilah Hava, it was a day that his wife immersed, was Tevel. It was a time of Tashmish Amita. Ula Agmuran halacha lamaisa udavet. He meant to teach me halacha lamaisa, to teach me that one places his tefillin in that location, even in the presence of Tashmish Amita, in accordance with the Shita, with the ruling, with the opinion of Shmuel, that one places his tefillin in that location, even in the presence of Tashmish Shamita. Continues the Gemara. Ba'imine Rav Yosef, Breidar Funchunya, he asked the question, Mei Rav Yehuda from Yehuda. What will be the halacha in the following scenario? Shnaim Sheishen Mitachas. Two individuals that are lying in one bed, undressed. Mahu Sheze Yachzer Pana Vika Krishma. What would happen if one turns sideways away from the other individual? The other person turns in the other direction, away from his friend. Are they allowed to recite Krishna in this position? Rashi explains, since their Ivari Tashmish are not coming into contact, they are not face to face, in that case, that would not be allowed, since the contact between the Ivari, the organs of Tashmish, would provoke improper thoughts. That wouldn't be acceptable. However, in this case, where they are lying in opposite directions, since it is only their backs that are coming into contact with each other, perhaps this is allowed. So this is the question that he asked him. Amar Lacy responded, Hachim Shmuel. Shmuel ruled as follows. One is allowed to recite Krishna in this manner, not only with a stranger, afilu ishta imay, even if this will involve his own wife, he is allowed to do so. Maskel Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenged this type of equation. Do you mean to say that Ishtai, his own wife, is a greater chiddush, is a greater teaching, meaning it is more acceptable with a stranger than his own wife? Ishtoy v'leim iboy achar. He's allowed to do so with his own wife, and certainly with a stranger. Adarab, just the opposite should be true. Ishtoy kegufay. One's wife is equated to his guf. She's like his own body. Rashi explains, since one is accustomed to the company of his wife, it doesn't provoke evil thoughts, irhurim, to the extent of a stranger. Therefore, if it's allowed with his wife, not necessarily is this allowed with a stranger. How can you say that it's allowed with a stranger, certainly with his wife? It should be the reasoning goes in the reverse. Ishti kegufay, achar lav kegufay. A stranger doesn't have the status of kegufay. Therefore, Yosef disagrees and he says, only with his own wife he's allowed, but not with a stranger. Says the Gemara, Meisivei, the Gemara challenges this with a proof from a Braisa. Shnayim sheyishen mitachas. Braisa says as follows. Two that are lying in one bed, undressed. Says the Braisa, Zeh machzer ponav v'kerei krishma. One turns into one direction and recites krishma. V'zeh machzer ponav v'kerei, and the other one does the same. So this Braisa allows recital of krishma in this manner. V'tanya achriti, we learned another Braisa, which seems to disagree. The Braisa says as follows: Hayoshem b'mita, one who is in bed, ubonov nebeisa b'tzidai, and his children are to his side. Hareza lo yikur krishma, he may not recite krishma in this manner. Elim kein hoisa talis mafsekes b'neim, unless there was a garment, a talis, which is mafsek b'neim, which interrupts between them. If he is in contact with them, if their guf are touching, he is not allowed to recite krishma. Only if there's a talis coming between them. Says the Braisa, Ve'im ho yubonov nebeisik tanim, if they were very small, mutter, then it's allowed. The Gemara soon will explain exactly what age is considered to be iktanim. So we have an apparent contradiction between the two Braises. The first Braisa allows, the second Braisa prohibits. Says the Gemara, okay, let's analyze it according to the views of Shmuel and Rav Yosef. Bishleim l'Rav Yosef le'kasha, it's all good and well according to Rav Yosef. We can properly interpret the Braises. We have a solution. There's a difference between his wife and a stranger. The Braisa that allows is with his wife, because ishti kegufay. The Braisa that prohibits is be'acher, is with a stranger. So this is in accordance with the distinction of Rabbi Yosef between his wife and a stranger. Elo l'shmuel kasha. However, according to Shmuel, that allows under all circumstances. So how are you going to explain the contradiction between the Braises? Amlach Shmuel. So Shmuel responds as follows. Rabbi Yosef minicha. Is it good according to Rabbi Yosef? V'atani, doesn't the Braisa say, this is the second Braisa, Hoya Yoshan b'mita u'banav nebeisa b'mita. The Braisa is referring to banav u'bnebeisa. Nebeisa is implying even his wife. Lo yikra krishma, he may not recite krishma. Elam kein oisa talas mafseka v'neim. So we see that even with one's wife, he can't recite krishma in this manner. So this will be difficult, even according to Rav Yosef, that allows his wife, because ishti kegufay, the second Braisa doesn't allow even his wife. Ella, so apparently you must say Ella ma'islach lemeimar. You must say Ishtei l'Rav Yosef tanoihi. Indeed, it is a machlekes tanoim regarding Ishtei. So the two braises are disagreeing, even regarding Ishtei. There's a machlekes tanoim regarding Ishtei. L'didinami tanoihi. So according to me as well, it is a machlekes tanoim regarding a stranger. Meaning that just as we find a machlekes tanoim regarding his wife. Although Rav Yosef held that one is allowed to do so regarding his wife, but we conclude that this is really a machlekes tanoi. The same thing regarding my opinion. Although I allowed one to recite krishma in this manner, even with an acher, with a stranger, but this indeed is a machlekes tanoi. It depends on these two braises. So in conclusion, according to Shmuel, in any case, in any event, whether it's with his wife or with a stranger, it is a machlekes tanoi if he's allowed to recite krishma in this manner. According to Rav Yosef, however, with a stranger, he's never allowed to do so. It is only with Ishtei, because Ishtei kegufay. But nevertheless, the Gemara concludes that this depends on the two braises. So really, it's a machlekes tanoim. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mar, we learned earlier, Zeh machzer panav v'kerei krishma. This person turns to one direction, recites krishma, says the Gemara, Va'ika agavis. Since they're coming into contact, their backs are coming into contact, so their buttocks, their agaves, are touching each other. Why is this not a problem? Says the Gemara, Mesayel Rav Huna, this seems to be a support to Rav Huna's view. Domer Rav Huna, agaves, eiva misham erva. Buttocks, agaves, are not considered to be an erva, and therefore, even if they are touching each other, they do not arouse hirhurim, evil thoughts, and therefore they are allowed during the recital of Krishna. Le'masayel Rav Huna, perhaps we have another proof to Rav Huna's statement that agavos are not considered to be erva. We learned in a Mishnah as follows: Ha'isha yoyshevas v'koytel achalasa aruma. A woman could sit undressed, and v'koytel achalasa, she can separate the portion of challah, the portion of the dough, which is called challah, even though she's required to make a blessing, a bracha. How can she do so if she's undressed? A person is not meant to recite a bracha when he's undressed. Mipnei, the reason is she'yichoyle lechasis pnei b'karka, because she can cover her face, meaning the bottom portion of her body, with the earth, with the karka, with the floor, and it is considered to be properly covered, and she can recite a bracha in this manner. Avaloya ish, this does not apply to a man, since in his case, his erva protrudes and is not properly covered with the karka. So you see from here, although her agaves, her buttocks, are exposed, nevertheless, this is not a problem. This does not prohibit and restrict her from reciting a bracha, since the agaves are not considered to be a legal status of erva. So we have a supporter of Huna from here. Says the Gemara, no, perhaps Tirgum Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, we can interpret the Mishnah as referring to the following scenario: Kegoin Shahiu Paneha Tuches B'Karka, that her entire lower portion, even the agaves, were flush with the floor, flush with the ground, and even the agaves were not visible, and therefore she is allowed to recite the bracha in this manner. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mar, we learned earlier, Im Hayu Banav Nebesek Tana Mutar. If his children were minor or very small, then he's allowed to lie with them and recite Krishna. Says the Gemara Ad Kama, until what age is considered to be Ketanim? Amar Rav Chizda Tinoikes Bashal Shalom Yev Echad. A daughter, a girl, until 3 years and an age, and a day. V'tinoik Ben Teshanu Yev Echad. And a boy, until 9 years and a day. This is equivalent, this corresponds to the age that they're considered to be Roy Labia, illegally fit for the Masa Bia, Masa Tashmish. Therefore, until that point, they do not pose a problem regarding recital of Krishna in their presence when lying with them undressed. But however, once they reach the point of Zman Haroi Labia, they are fit for Tashmish. Therefore, at that point, they are already too old and it is not allowed. That is one opinion. Ikadamri, there's another opinion that Tinoikes Bas Yud Al Chanav Yemechot, a girl until 11 and a day, and a boy until 12 years and a day. Why? What's the point of this age? Both of these ages, a girl 11 and a day, boy 12 and a day, they are developed already to the point of shadayim nechoinu, her breasts are already developing, and the pubic hair already beginning to grow, and therefore they are already at a point of development that it is not proper anymore to recite Krishna in this manner. Omale Rav Kahana Larvashi. Hosam Amarava, in the first case mentioned regarding the placement of the tefillin, mentioned in the beginning of the daf, one places his tefillin tachas marashoysev, underneath his headrest, even in the presence of his wife, in the presence of Tashan Shamita. Hosam Amarava, regarding that halacha, Rava ruled, Rava paskind, avgavet yufta, the Shmuel, although we find the brisa that refutes this view of Shmuel, doesn't allow a person to have his tefillin around during Tashmish. Nevertheless, Rava ruled that Hilchas HaKavtei de Shmuel, that the practical halacha follows the view of Shmuel, and it is allowed. What about in this most recent halacha, Hochamai? What about in the halacha of Shmuel mentioned recently, that one is allowed to recite Krishna in the manner of Yashan Bemita, lying in the bed, undressed? Do we follow the leniency of Shmuel in this matter as well? Amar Lu, so Rav Ashi responded, Atu kulu b'chada machta machtinu, do you weave all these halachas in one weaving? Meaning, why are you comparing everything? Elaecha de itma itmar, we're in a place where we learned specifically, where we accepted and we concluded that the halacha follows Shmuel's opinion. Itmar, we learned. Ve'echa de itmar le itmar. However, in a place where it was not concluded as such, we do not know and we don't conclude the halacha in accordance to Shmuel. We don't know what the halacha is like. Amalir of Marilah Papa. What about the following situation? Seyor Yaitse Bigde Mao. If this pubic hair, a strand of hair that is protruding outside his beged, is that considered to be an erva regarding recital of Krishna? correlates, he responded, Seir, Seir. He called on it, Seir, Seir, here, here, meaning it's not a concern, it's not considered to be an erva. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yitzchak, Tefach v'isha erva. A tefach, an amount of a tefach that is exposed from an isha, a place which is normally covered and is now exposed, a sheer tefach of that area is considered to be an erva. And the Gemara will explain, what is this pertaining to? Lamai, what exactly is this halacha pertaining to, that a tefach of exposure of an isha's body is considered to be an erva? Lamai, ilay melis takuliba, regarding gazing at her, having pleasure from gazing at her, says the Gemara of Ha'amar of Sheshes, didn't Rav Sheshes teach us that one may not gaze for pleasure in any area, even at a exposed area of an isha, a place which is normally not covered? Amar of Sheshes, lama mana kosov, why did the Torah list? This is regarding the Yidden who had returned, the Jews who had returned from their Muhammad, their war with Midian, and they brought a carbon to Hashem, a sacrifice to atone, to be mechaper. Perhaps they had a hurim roim, improper thoughts while they were warring the Midianim, and they brought the tachshitim, the ornaments that the women from Midian were wearing. They brought it as a carbon to Hashem. And the Torah lists all types of tachshim, all types of ornaments. Some of them were intimate ornaments worn on covered parts of the body. Some were just plain ornaments. So why did the Torah list them all together? Perhaps wouldn't it have been more fitting for them to bring as a carbon the intimate ornaments to atone for hirurim, from evil thoughts, from improper machshavos connected, associated with intimate areas of the guf? Loma manan hakosav. Why did the Torah list together tachshitim shebachutz, the tachshitim that are worn on the outside, and tachshitim shebefnim, with ornaments that are worn on the inside? It is meant to teach you a lesson. Loy marlach, to teach you that everything is equated, everything has equal status. Kolamistakel beetzpek tana shalisha, one who gazes for pleasure at even the small finger of a woman, kilo mistakel makam atoyer, is equated to one who gazes at the makam erva, the most intimate portion of the isha. So this teaches us a lesson, that one may not gaze for pleasure at any area of the woman. So what's the point of telling us that a tefach of the area of the woman that is normally covered is considered to be an erva? Any area of the isha, even a place which is normally uncovered, one may not gaze for pleasure. Ella, but rather he's coming to teach us halacha be'ishta, with one's own wife, l'krishma, pertaining to krishma, that one may not recite krishma opposite a tefach that's exposed even from his own wife. Amar Chizid, the Gemara continues, another halacha, shayik b'isha erva, a thigh of a woman is considered to be an erva. Shenemar gali shayik, reveal your thigh, ivri nahareis, pass through the river uksiv, togel ervasech, you have revealed your erva, v'gam teiroch erpasech, your shame was revealed, was exposed. So we see from here that there's a reference to shayik with the term erva. Now the Mepharshim attempt to explain this Gemara. What is the point of saying that a thigh of an isha is an erva? Isn't it a place that is ordinarily covered? So we know already that a place that is meant to be covered, if it is exposed, is considered to be an erva. So there is a couple of approaches here. We'll cite two of them. One of them is that perhaps even less than a tefach, since it is the thigh, which is a more private portion of the guf, even less than an erva provokes hirhurim, and one is not meant to recite krishma when part of the thigh is exposed, even if it is concerning one's own wife. There's another pshat that Rav Chizkiz means to teach us that in an area which is meant to be covered, a person is not meant to even look at it, even if it's not for pleasure, even to look, riyah ba'alma, one is not meant to do when it is a place that is meant to be covered. So regarding the exposed area of a guf, the places that are meant to be uncovered, there the isser is merely by mestakel, when one is gazing for pleasure. The chiddush of chizah perhaps is that a place that is meant to be covered, like the thigh, a person may not even look at that area, even if it's not for pleasure. Continues the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Kaili isha erva, the voice of a woman is considered to be an erva. The Mepharshim explain, it is speaking about the voice of song. Shenemar, as we find, ki kailich orev, your voice is sweet, and marach nov, and your countenance is pleasant. Apparently the fact that the pasuk praises the singing voice of a woman, perhaps this is apparently this is a subject of desire, something which evokes hirhurim and lust and improper thoughts. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes, say Rav Yish Erva, the hair of a woman is considered to be an erva. Shenema sa'orech ke'eder izim, your hair is compared to the flock of the izim. So this is something which is praised. So apparently it is too a subject of desire, and therefore it can evoke and provoke machshav ezor, is improper thoughts, and is considered to be an erva. So we learned several halachas. Number one, histaklus, gazing for pleasure, that is not allowed with any erva. One is not allowed to gaze for pleasure upon any one of the arayis, and as the Mishnah Berurah brings, practically speaking, in today's day and age, not only is an ashes ish, a married woman, considered to be an erva, but even any grown woman is considered to be an erva on account that she is probably a nida, and therefore one is not meant to gaze on any grown woman for the sake of anah, for the sake of pleasure. What is the next halacha? Tefach v'isha erva, an amount, a shear of tefach, which is exposed in an area of the woman which is meant to be covered, that is considered to be an erva. And the Gemara says this applies even to one's own wife, or may not recite Krishma opposite this exposed area. The next halacha was regarding Sheik Bisha Erva, the thigh of a woman. One pshat we had was that even if it is less than a tefach, since it is a very private area, one may not recite Krishma even opposite his own wife. The other pshat we had was that this is coming to teach us that one may not gaze at a hidden area of a woman, even just to look, without deriving pleasure. The next halacha is regarding Koil B'Yisha Erva, the singing voice of a woman is considered to be an erva. And finally, Seir B'Yisha Erva, the hair of a woman, as the place can speak out. This is only an Ashes Ish, a married woman, but not a Pnuya, a woman who is single. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Ani Re'isi Es Rabbi, I noticed that Rabbi did the following. Shetola Tfilof, he hung up his tefillin on a peg. Apparently this is okay. Meisvei, we learned in a brisa, Ha'teir le'tfilin, one who hangs up his tefillin, Yitol le'chayof, his life should be hung up. Apparently it's not something that one is meant to do. Do'er she'chamuris amru, those who expound on hidden things used to say the following. V'ho'yuchayecha t'loim l'cha mineged, when the pasuk says that your life should be hung up in front of you, ze'ha'teir le'tfilin, is referring to one who hangs up his tefillin. Apparently this is not something one is meant to do. Rashi explains that the tefillin is akin to one's life, since it contains the Torah. It contains the portions of Torah. And Torah is keim chayenu, it is one's life. Therefore, one is not meant to hang it up in the air in a disrespectful manner. So we have a contradiction to Rav's custom. So the more like kasha, it's not difficult. It depends how he hangs up his tefillin. Ha beretzua, if he hangs it up through the straps and has the tefillin hanging down, that is disrespectful. Ha bektisa, however, if he hangs it up with the bottom, with the compartment up on top, that is okay. V'bayis ema, another teretz, loishna retzuav, loishna tzitza aser, either way is forbidden. V'chitala Rabbi bekissa tala. When Rabbi hung up his tefillin, he did it in a manner where the tefillin was already in their pouch, and he merely hung it up in the pouch. Therefore, that is not a bezayin, that is not being disrespectful to the tefillin. If that's the way he did it, so what is he coming to inform us? What is Rav Chanina coming to tell us? I saw Rebbe hang up his tefillin. It was in the pouch. It wasn't a lack of respect. Says the Gemara, Ma'od Tema, perhaps I would think, one is meant to place his tefillin in the same manner as one is obligated to place the Sefer Torah on a shelf without hanging it up whatsoever. Kamash Malan, he informs us that tefillin is different. Tefillin one may hang up if it is already contained in the pouch. V'Omar Rav Chanina, Ani Ra'isi Es Rebbe, I noticed that Rebbe during his davening, during his tefillah, he did the following. Shegiyek, he burped, v'piyek, and he yawned, v'nis atish, and he sneezed, v'rok, and he spit. U'memashvish b'bigdoy, when he needed to remove a louse, which was annoying him, he handled it with his beged and removed it in that manner. Avaloyi m'satif, but if his talus would fall down, he wouldn't go and interrupt in order to retrieve it. When he yawned, he would place his hand on his chin to cover up his mouth, cover up the opening of his mouth, to behave to conduct himself with respect, the proper cover during tefillah. Says, how can you say that these things are allowed during tefillah? We have a braisa as follows. One who allows his words, his voice to be heard during his tefillah, that is not meant to be so. He's displaying his lack of faith in Hashem. Since Hashem can hear you even if when you whisper. And one is meant to daven quietly, just as we learned from Chana, who whispered during a tefillah. One is not meant to raise his voice. And one who does so implies that he perhaps thinks that Hashem can't hear him when he is merely whispering. One who raises his voice very high, he is considered to be like the false prophets who raised their voices and yelled out. One who is hamagayik mafayik, one who burps and mafayik and yawns, harizim gasi ruach, that implies that he's a haughty fellow. Hamesatish b'tfilasi, one who sneezes, simen raloi, it's a bad omen. Apparently, he's a person that behaves in a disgusting manner. Harak b'tfilasi, one who spits, kilu rak lefnei hamelech, it's as if he's spitting in front of a king. It's not something that one is meant to do. So we have a braisa which indicates that all these different mannerisms are not something which one is meant to do during tefillah. So how do we explain the Rav's practice? It says, we could find a solution for megayik mefayik that kan lo insay kan ritzoni. It depends if it was lo insay unintentionally or it was done intentionally. So in the case of Revi, it was done lo insay unintentionally. However, the Bryce is referring to one who does it l'ritzoinai, he does it intentionally, and that is not something which one is meant to do during tefillah. Ela misatish misatish kashya. How could you answer the stira regarding misatish? Since misatish, sneezing, comes on its own, it comes naturally, it's not something which one intends to do. So you can't differentiate between rotzen and oynes regarding itush. Says Zimur, Misatesh, Misatesh, Namedle Kasha, that too is not difficult. Kamalamalo, Kamalamata, depends what type of itush. The itush lamala, from on top, from his nose, that is something which a person may do during tefillah. However, Kamalamata, if it's coming from underneath, passing of ear, that is not something which is respectful during tefillah. The Omer of Zera, as Zera stated, Ha Milsa, this lesson, this teaching, Iv Loili Be'Rav Huna, I learned in the Beis Medrash of Huna, and it was so precious to me, since he used to sneeze a lot. It is equal like my whole learning. Which, what was the lesson that he learned? Hamasatesh v'tfilas, one who sneezes during davening, simen yafaloi, is a good omen, is a good sign. Why? Just like they provide him with satisfaction and pleasure by allowing him to sneeze. Malamata, meaning down here in this world, kach oisimle, it is an indication that they will give him, that they do, that during their fulfilling his needs, they will give him satisfaction, nachasruach olamaro, they will accept his tefillah. So this was something that Rav Zera learned, and he was very happy with, since his practice was to sneeze a lot. So we see from here that sneezing is not something which is necessarily frowned upon, and that explains Rav's practice to sneeze during his tefillah. Says Zigmar, but we have one more thing that is still difficult. How was Rav allowed to spit if the Braisa says one is not allowed to do so? Says Zigmar, Raka Rok Namele Kasha. That too can be answered in the following manner. Efsher Rav Yehuda. We can do it in the manner of Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda, Ayoimir Betfila, one who is Mov Davinim, is Damali Roik. And saliva has surfaced and he needs to spit it out. Mavli Betalisoi. He can absorb it into his clothing. Vim Talis Nohu, if it was a precious garment, it was an expensive garment, he didn't want to sully it. So then Mavliyoi Barfak Susoi, he does it in a less expensive garment, perhaps an undergarment. So we have a solution for spitting. So that perhaps is the answer to the stira. Rebbe was Ruk because he put the spit, he was Mavliyoi in his clothing. The Braisa that says that one who spits is akin, is equivalent to one who spits in front of the king, that is speaking about one who spits out in a way, in a manner that it's visible, and that is not something that one is meant to do during tefillah. Continues the Gemara. Ravina havakoi acher darvashi. Ravina was standing behind darvashi, and his damali roik, some saliva surfaced, and he needs to spit it out. Paskil acheri. He threw it behind him. Amalei. So Ravina challenged him. Loisava lamal odar of Yudah. Do you not hold that one is meant to be mavliyah b'afak susay, one is not meant to follow the ruling of Rav Yehuda and allow it to be absorbed inside his clothing, amaliyah anani d'atoi, I am super sensitive and therefore I can't have it into my, I can't put it into my clothing and I must conduct myself in this manner. So in conclusion, we had a contradiction between Rebbe's mode of conduct and we have a braisa which seemed to indicate that those things are not something recommended or allowed during tefillah. And we answered as follows. Regarding Megayik and mefayik, burping and yawning. That depends if it's lo'insai or lo'rtsoinai, intentional or unintentional. Regarding mes'atesh, we said it depends what type of itish, if it is melamala or melamata. Regarding roik, that we said depends if he is bimavliyoi, b'ksusoi, absorbing it into his clothing, or merely throwing it out in a visible manner. Continues the Gemara, hamashmiya koyil b'tfilasai, one who has his words audible during his tefillah shmon esrei, harei ze miktane amana. It indicates that he has little emuna, little faith in Hashem's ability to hear him out when he's whispering. Amar avuna leishano, this is only said, ela sheyucha lechaven eslibi belachash, provided that he has the ability to properly be mechaven eslibi belachash, he can properly concentrate when he is whispering. Aval but, in a case where ein yocha lechaven eslibi belachash, person has difficulty concentrating when he whispers, mutter, then he's allowed to daven in this manner. But this allowance is only when he's davening on his own. But if he's amongst a tzibur, asher lemitra tzibur, he cannot do that, because if he davens audibly, this will distract and interfere with the kavana of the tzibur. Says the Gemara, Rab Abba have a kamishdamit mineder of Yehuda. He was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rab Abba had plans to move to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that in exile, during when Jews are in Golus, we are not meant to move to Eretz Yisrael. Damar Rabbi Yehuda, kolo ilim ibavel Eretz Yisrael, one who ascends from Babel or any other exile, he goes up to Eretz Yisrael prior to the redemption. Oyer be'esei, he transgresses a mitzvah sasei. Shenemar, bavel lo yevo, Hashem says they should be brought to Babel. V'shama yu, there they will remain. Ad yoyim pakti es, oysam nam Hashem, until the day that I will gather them. So says Hashem. Now the Shita that disagrees with this holds that this pasuk is speaking about the vessels, the Kelim Beis HaMikdash, that they will be brought to Babel and they will remain there until redemption. But one is allowed to move to Eretz Yisrael. But since Rabbi Yehuda held that that is forbidden, so Rabbi Abba avoided confronting him. Nevertheless, he wanted to overhear a halacha from his Beis Medrash. Amar said as follows, Ezel v'ishma minei milsam bevada, I will go overhear something from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yehuda without him noticing me. Vader apik, and then Vasi v'ezel, is a girsa, I'll come back and I'll go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so he went azal, he went to the Beis Medrash, and he heard Ashriche Letana, he saw that a Tana, he found a Tana, the Tani Kamei Rav Yehuda, who stated the following in the presence of Rav Yehuda. The following halacha, Hoya oimed v'tfilah v'nis'atish, one who was mo'ov davening and he needed to pass wind, Mamtin Ashriche L'reach, he waits until the foul smell passes, v'chayzer mispalel, and then resumes his tefillah. Ikedamri, there's another version. Hayomim v'tefillah, one who was standing during davening of Bikish Tisatish, he felt an urge to pass air, marach l'achrav daladamis, he distanced himself away for Amis, he walks away for Amis, from where he davened, from his makam tefillah, and over there he is misatish, he passes the wind, umamtin, he waits ashrich l'ruach, until the Ruach passes, v'choizer u'mispalel, and he goes back to the place where he davened, v'oimer, and he makes the following statement to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Hashem, Master of the World, Yitzar Tonu, you created us, you formed us, nekavim, with openings, chalum chalum, with various cavities, kol vidul afanecha, is known and revealed to you, cherpaseinu klimaseinu, our busha, our shame, our embarrassment, b'chayeinu, during our lifetime, u'b'achriseinu, and after we die, rima v'saleya, will be involved with worms and maggots. So we're expressing our human condition, our human frailty to Hashem, we're excusing ourselves on account of our behavior, we're merely humans. U'maschu v'makash ha'pasak, and he resumes, he picks up from where he left off. So this is what he overheard from the Beis Medrash of Yehuda. Amar lei, so Rav Abba said, ilu lei basi l'shmoi d'arazed dayoi, if I would have only heard this halacha dayoi, it would have been sufficient. He was so excited about the halacha that he overheard. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabban Hayosham Talisa, if one was lying with his robe, he was undressed. He had no ability to poke his head out from underneath the robe on account of the cold weather. So how is he meant to recite Krishma? One is not meant to be to see his erva. So he's chayte b'talisa tzavari. He presses his talis, his robe, flush against his neck, v'kari krishma. This creates a hefsek, interruption, and he may recite krishma. He must press it against his heart, so that his heart is not exposed to Zera. Says the Gemara, Tanakama, Hari Liber is Erva. The Tanakama allows that his heart to see the Erva, since he is pressing against his neck. What's going to be with his heart? Says the Gemara, Kasavar, apparently Tanakama holds, that's okay. Liber Reis Erva Mutter. His lave, which is exposed to his Erva, is okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rafuna Rav Yechanan. Rafuna stated in the name of Rav Yechanan. Hayu Mahalach B'mvayis Tanafis. If one was walking through the sullied alleyways, the alleyways that contained waste, soya, maniach yodei al piv v'kari krishma, he can recite krishma in this manner as long as he covers his mouth with his hands. It creates some sort of hefsek interruption between the words uttered in his mouth and the impurities that are present in these mevayis hamatanafis. Amalei Rav Chisda, Halekim, promised in the name of Hashem, Im Amalei Rav Yechon Mepumei Letzayisinle. If Rav Yechon himself would have related to me this halacha, this leniency that allows one to recite Krishna in these places, if I would have heard personally from Rav Yechon Letzayisinle, I wouldn't have listened to him, because one is not allowed to do so. Ikedamit is another version of events. Amalei Rav Bar Machana Meshuban Levi. Hayu Mahalach Mevayis Ab Tanafes. Maniach Yadei Al Piv Vekari Krishna. The same halacha. Amr of Chizr, challenged him as well. Harlekim, in the name of Hashem, Im Amr of Shom Alevi, Pumei Letzayisin Lei. Even if Shom Alevi would have related to me with his own mouth, I would have disagreed. Says the Gemara, Omi Amr Rav Huna Achi. Can it be so that Rav Huna tells us that one may recite Krishna in a place of impurity? For Amr Rav Huna, didn't Rav Huna teach us? Talmud Chacham, also Lei Lamed Makom HaTenefes. Talmud Chacham may not be present, may not stand in a place of impurities. Because it's impossible for him to stand without contemplating words of Torah. So apparently, Torah is not allowed to be recited in places of impurity. So this contradicts his allowance mentioned before. So Zimar like Kasha, it's not difficult. They're speaking about two different circumstances. Kan ba'oimet, this is speaking about when he's stationary, standing in one place, then he's not allowed to, because this is his camp. This is his machna, this is his place, and we know b'hayah machanecha kadosh, one's machna is meant to be holy, pure. Therefore, if he's standing in the presence of waste, impurity, tzaya, he cannot recite Krishna or Divrei Torah. However, kanda mahalich, the aforementioned halacha, where Rav Huna related the halacha of one who is walking through, passing by these locations, that is mahalich, he's merely walking through, this is not considered to be his place, his camp. Therefore, it doesn't apply. The halacha of Vayim Echanach HaKadosh doesn't apply, and he may recite these words, provided that he covers his mouth. Continues the Gemara. Umi Amar Rav Yechanan Hachi. How can we have stated this heter, this leniency in the name of Rav Yechanan? Didn't Rav Baruch Hanna teach us, Va'amar Rav Baruch Hanna Rav Yechanan, B'chol Mokem Muta Lahara B'divrei Torah. One may contemplate words of Torah everywhere, except Chutz Beis HaMerchetz Beis HaKisei, a bathhouse or a bathroom, place which contains impurities. So we see a contradiction within Rav Yechanan himself. Says the Gemara, perhaps we'll make the same distinction. The Chitema, you'll propose, Hochanami here too, Kamboim et Kamamalach. Depends if he's standing or walking. Says the Gemara, Eini. Is that so? V'Ravo Havakaz L'Basrei Rav Yechanan. There was a story that Ravo was walking behind Rav Yechanan. V'Havakakari Krishma. And Ravo was reciting Krishma. Kimata V'Voisam Tanofis. When he arrived at these dirty alleyways, Ishtik, Ravo silenced himself. He paused. He didn't want to recite Krishna in this location. And then when they passed this area, Amalei Rav Yechanan, so he turns to Rav Yechanan and he asked him the following question, Leichan Adar, where am I meant to go back to? Do I need to go back to the beginning of Krishna, or can I pick up where I left off? So Rav Yechanan responded to him as follows. Depends how long you paused. Imsha Hisak De Ligmar Skula, if you waited the amount of time where you can recite the entire Krishna during that time, Chayzal Rosh, then you need to go back to the beginning, and it validates what you've already recited. You need to go back to the way beginning. So apparently Rav Yechanan agrees that one is meant to stop to be mafsik in Mavoi Santanofis, even though he was walking through them. So apparently there's no difference. Rav Yechanan holds, whether he's standing, whether he's walking, he's not allowed to recite the Divrei Torah. So we have a contradiction in Rav Yechanan himself. Rav Yechanan here tells us that one may not recite Torah in these locations, and earlier we quoted in the Rav Yechanan that is allowed. Says the Gemara, no, Rav Yechanan himself holds that if one is walking through these locations, he may recite Torah. Hachi Kamalei, this is what he meant to tell Ravo. According to me, my opinion, I don't hold that one is required to stop. According to you that you hold that one is required to stop, then it depends indeed. If you've paused long enough that you can recite the entire thing, you must go back to the beginning. But according to Rabbi Yochanan per se, one is not required to interrupt since he's merely walking through. So again, we have that chiluk, that distinction between stationary, between one who's oimed, standing in the mavaisam tanafis, that is not allowed. But if he's merely walking through, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that is allowed. So in conclusion, what is the halacha regarding mavaisam tanafis? So if he's standing in one place, everybody agrees, he may not engage in words of Torah. However, if he's merely walking through, so we have a machlekes. According to Rav Yochanan, he merely places his hand on his mouth and recites the words of Krishna. According to Rav Huna, that too is not allowed. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rav Huna, we have a brisa to prove, to support the shita of Rav Huna, that it is allowed. Tanya Kavasi Rav Chizda, we have a proof from a brisa to the shita of Rav Chizda, that it is not allowed. Tanya Kavasi Rav Huna, one is walking through these alleyways, he simply places his hand over his mouth and recites Krishna. Tanik, we have a brisa in support of Rav Chizda. He is walking through these alleyways. You may not recite Krishna. Not only that, if he was already reciting prior to his arrival at this location, he must interrupt. However, if one chooses not to stop, he continues reciting even in an impure location, what is the consequence of Rami Yashba, Reda of Shumalevi? All of HaKasavayim, on him the Torah says the following, V'gamani nosati lehem, chukim le'tayim, I've given to them laws, decrees that are no good, u'mishpatam le'yichibahem, and laws that they will not live with, meaning if one disregards, disrespects the words of Torah, he's implying that the words of Torah don't contain goodness or longevity. Rav Asi Omar, we have a different pasuk. Hoi, woe to the ones that are moshchei oven, who bring sin upon themselves, to incur punishment, b'chalei yashav, on account of weak cords that can be snapped easily, meaning he incurs an oinish punishment on account of merely reciting words of Torah improperly. Rav Adi Bar Avraham Mihocha, from a different pasuk. Yidvar Hashem Baza, he degraded the words of Hashem. However, being pasak maschore, if he indeed stops reciting these words and he treats them with proper respect, what is his reward? What is his schar maravo? All of akasav oimar on him, the Torah says, ubedavar hazeh tarich yomim. Bedavar hazeh, says Rashi, is referring to dibur hazeh, on account of these words. He treated the words of Hashem with proper respect. He zeiche tarich yomim, to a long life, on account of him having treated the words of Torah with the proper covet, with the proper respect.